Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for this weekend devotion as we discuss the importance of spiritual food. But first, let's pray. Gracious God, we know that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. And so make us hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, who is the bread of heaven. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, and I'm reading from the NIV. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened a home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Today, through our reading, I want to reflect on the idea of spiritual food and its importance, listening to Jesus and obeying his words, which seems to be the thrust of this brief account that is recorded only in the Gospel of Luke. I then want to pick up on elements that we must embrace as Christians essential to the reception of spiritual food. Now, Martha's busyness indicates that there may have been quite a number of guests, so we know what she was doing was important, and it was in line with what it meant for Jews to show good hospitality. Some believe Martha was also the head of this home, so it would have fallen to her to do what she was doing. Of course, to the modern person, immediately some rushed to protest the woman's role in the home as something that was imposed by the patriarchy, that they are not there simply to bear children and to be in the kitchen. And they would be right, since that was a male-dominated order then. But back then, this was how the world was, and among the women, it was what one did. And so this text does not stand as a statement against confining women to the kitchen, and neither are Jesus' words pro-feminist. Also, the account should not be taken as the cries of someone who felt oppressed by a male-dominated world. All this to make the point that the text was not the dawning of the emancipation of woman. Nonetheless, we have Martha, in an unreasonable way, interrupting what Jesus was teaching to those who were listening, with a quite reasonable complaint about her sister. Curiously, though, she dresses it up to reflect a lack of care on Jesus' part. "Don't you care?" she asked him. Then Jesus lovingly and gently rebukes her. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." In saying this, some have thought that Jesus may have been implying that Martha was busy trying to provide an elaborate supper when a simple meal would have been quite sufficient. Mary had instead chosen to listen to Jesus, and that was more important than preparing a large banquet. This is likely, but we cannot be certain, though. The thing is this: a relationship with Jesus cannot be stolen or taken from a person. Jesus was pleased that Mary was learning from him and that her focus was on spending this time with him. He had made a similar point earlier in Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 35, when a group of Pharisees and scribes had voiced their concerns that his disciples did not fast, while the disciples of John the Baptist and of the Pharisees did so, and quite regularly. In verses 34 to 35, he replied, alluding to his limited time with his disciples, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them," meaning his death, resurrection, and ascension. "And then they will fast," said Jesus. And so the interaction with Martha about Mary is not meant to teach us the value of a contemplative prayer life as opposed to a life of action and practical works, but to show that serving Jesus should never be at the expense of taking time to sit at his feet, so to speak, and to learn from him. This is not an either-or issue, but a both-and matter. There needs to be a good balance between spending time with Jesus, listening to him, and then serving him, meaning doing his will. Some have suggested that the assumption is that both sisters are followers of Jesus, when this may not have been the case at that point. Martha, they suggest, may not have been drawn to Jesus yet, as her sister was, and it's possible that they base this on Martha's confession of faith in Jesus when he comes to the sisters because of the death of their brother Lazarus. But in our text, we can't know for sure, and in the end, however one reads this, one thing is really clear. In that moment, and because Jesus was present, the greater need was spiritual food, and that was the portion or the meal that Mary had chosen, which would not be taken away from her. Our reading, therefore, provides us with a jumping-off point to explore the question of what elements are to be present for spiritual food to be received and digested by God's people. So first, we must bear in mind that everything we do is by grace alone. Grace has been explained as a reverse acronym, or backronym, which is an acronym deliberately formed from a phrase whose initial letters spell out a particular word or words that exist. Thus, God's riches at Christ's expense cleverly spells out the word grace, meaning that our eyes were opened up to the gospel because God was merciful to us, not because of any essential goodness or any other commendable merit on our part, but simply because God chose to make us the beneficiaries of his undeserved favor because of Jesus. Every other thing which comes to us from God is by grace alone. The fact that our souls can be enriched by God in a world that is hopelessly dark, the fact that we can believe, have hope, and love those who are not entirely lovable, as well as look beyond our own needs to serve others in this world, is by grace alone. Grace opens our hearts to God's riches, and we are filled. So, by God's grace, as we approach him in worship together and in our private moments, we will be fed with spiritual food. And this brings us to our second point. We approach God by faith alone. Grace implies faith. Spiritual food is acquired and digested by faith as we spend time with God in the Scriptures. And faith develops as we learn to trust God with our lives more and more each day, taking time to sit at the feet of Jesus and come to grips with God's Word. But it is also something that is developed within the community of the local congregation of God's people, so that whenever we get stuck, we have the church to help us come unstuck in our understanding. Thus, spiritual growth comes not only by grace alone, but by faith alone. This is why Paul could say with complete confidence to the church in Rome in chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 reiterates this point, stating that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then in verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him," that is God, "for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So, spiritual growth implies that we have received spiritual food. This in turn will result in spiritual fruit that is manifested in our actions and behavior. And this then brings us to our third and final point, that is, that spiritual food is accessed through Scripture alone. Sometimes people struggle to move forward confidently in their Christian walk for a number of reasons. One such reason could be the way they understand God's grace in their lives. Another could be that they have not had a good understanding of the role and nature of faith in their lives. These basic issues and many other matters are shaped by how people relate to the Bible as God's words to us. The term Scripture alone reflects very strongly the idea of the sole authority of Scripture. Scripture stands by itself, interprets itself, and so demonstrates its unity. Every doctrine and Christian view emanates from the Bible, and all sound doctrine aligns with the whole counsel of Scripture, that is, from one end of the Bible to the other. When read and understood this way, Scripture will always be good spiritual food for God's people, and it then stands as the final say on all matters of faith and life. This is why Jesus, in one of his weakest moments in the desert, was able to stand up to the devil when tempted and say boldly, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's from Luke 4. Naturally, there are all kinds of good Christian resources that help us understand God and the Bible better, but in the end, we are left with Scripture to guide us. If God went to the trouble of giving us a glimpse of His will through Scripture, then we ought to work at getting to know it well. We can't lean on every other person's view of it. In conclusion, here is what Paul had to say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Our journey forever will remain by grace alone, through faith alone, and by Scripture alone. As we continue to commit to such a way of life, we will never lack for spiritual food, never lack either in living effectively in this world for God. None of this comes easy, and I think that goes without saying, but that is precisely what grace and faith is there for. And so may God help us in our journey as we live on His spiritual food. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided us with the Bible to help us to know you and to know your will, how we should live and how we should be in this world. Thank you that through your Scriptures we have come to know your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In him we have salvation and life everlasting by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so help us to live in such a way as to be light in our dark world, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And God bless you.